to my left, but not really. Hunter Davenport.
Scott Summers is a dick.
And then to his right, but not really, Arlen Harrow.
Yo.
And then to his right, Alan Muir.
Go fuck yourself, Chris.
By the way, none of us are in the same room together. This is all the internet, so no one's to the right of anybody.
Yep. So this is the anniversary episode. Wednesday, we turned 1 year old as a group. Not the podcast.
Not the podcast. The podcast is way younger than that.
Yeah. Right. But the group, which the podcast was birthed from, turned 1 year. It's been a good year. We've had, like, 3 hiccups, like, if I'm, like, counting, as far as, like, people, like, getting angry and, like, storming out of the group, at least that I can remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we saw the rise and fall of the villain poll, which is dead.
Yeah.
Dead, and, guys. Not coming back. I'm not digging that up.
Just, we also outlived Pop Slam, so.
Yes. Yep. R.I.P. Pop Slam. That page is still up. I just haven't. Here's the thing about Facebook groups. If you want to delete it, you have to go in and manually remove every single member.
Jesus.
I don't have the wherewithal to do that.
What?
It'd be funny if you
manually remove every single member.
It'd be funny if you left as a mod and it just became a group of people with no mods to control them. That'd be crazy.
That's kind of what it was like before. Anyway. I'm like, hey, don't do this. Whoa, we're going to. All right, whatever.
Yeah, that's a true Thunderdome right there. Shots, shots, shots. But yeah, year old. I guess we can talk about the group for a little bit. I feel like the mission statement of the group is like, it's been upheld, right?
Yeah.
A place to be positive about comics.
Yeah, we're not very not big on negativity in there. Like, it's okay to say you don't like something or
We say as we talk about burning a copy of the Ultimates.
Listen.
And Spider-Man Chapter 1.
And Spider-Man Chapter 1.
Some rage is warranted.
Yeah. At some point, you gotta look at your comic books and
look,
say...
Look, if I didn't have things to passionately hate, I wouldn't have half the passion I have at all, so...
That's true.
Yeah.
I have to be at least half dead inside to feel alive.
Yeah, exactly. Especially to watch Daredevil. That was painful.
Yeah.
Spawn, man. Spawn.
I still can't decide which was worse.
I think it was Daredevil. Spawn.
I don't know. I think Daredevil's worse.
I don't know. There are still things I like about Daredevil.
I think only because Daredevil is so, like, irredeemably stupid.
Yeah.
And Spawn has a few shining things like special effects and stuff like that. And
John Leguizamo.
Yeah, and John Leguizamo just like stealing the movie at every chance.
Yeah, it is kind of a toss-up. I think as we do more of the bad movie specials, we'll be able to say what was the worst.
I can't wait to do Fantastic Four.
Oh, God.
Any of them. Well, preferably the new one, because the new one has so much more to take apart.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, go back to the group for a second. The group is, like, it's a really nice place, and, like, I think we need more members, because it's not as active up as I want it to be, but, like, I'm busy, and I know you guys are busy, like, Connor's a fucking vet tech, so.
My schedule is probably going to get very regular very, very soon, but, hopefully.
Mine has been anything but. Like, the last few days at the hospital were like, hey, it's closing time, let's get ready to go. Now there's a dog fight in room 6. Oh, and there's a dog fight in room 4. Oh, and there's a dog fight in room 3. Oh.
What? Is your work just, like, hosting dog fights?
No, it's like, we get certain things in spurts. Like, we'll get several animals in a row that need to have, like, bladder stones taken out, so we'll do, like, a week where we're just doing cystotomies left and right.
Oh,
which can be a complete, like, freak show amusement time, because you're like, alright, how big are they? And then, like, doctor, like, reaches in and pulls out, like, something the size of his fist.
Why? Why?
Gee. Okay.
We have some of them saved, like, a little formaldehyde jars and shit.
I'm just imagining taking bets on, like, what the size would be.
I'm imagining it being like a Guillermo del Toro movie, but with stones and shit instead of dead babies.
We're not gonna pull something like that size out of a cat, but like a great cat. Maybe.
Right. One of those big dogs. Okay, that's a weird...
Hi, everybody. That's what Connor does for work.
Of all of our tangents, that's the one that just, like, killed the conversation. Yeah. But the group is, like... Well, once this podcast started, I think my time in the group sort of, like, diminished because I couldn't really do both. Just don't have a lot of time for that. But, yeah. Again, I think we've done a pretty good job of keeping the idea of the group.
I mean, hey, we rarely ever lose members, and we certainly gain a few every now and then. So
right.
I still want to do a comic-centric podcast, like not comic book shows, like or not a niche podcast like this.
Right.
But an actual like talking about issue like every week, like a weekly.
Yeah.
iFanboy-ish show.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh, you have fun with that. That's too much.
Yeah, I think part of why I immediately jumped on this was because it was brought up in the group. I was like, okay, that's something focused. It's not too broad. It's something that we can just be like, oh, this is one thing, and that's a thing that we can actually do, and it's not going to take too much of our time, I guess. And
sometimes I don't even watch the show.
And boy, were we wrong about how much time it would take up, because... We have to organize this, and then we have to watch the TV show. Sometimes we have to watch the TV shows twice, because in the case of Supergirl, I don't fucking remember what happened on Monday.
Yeah, that's why I've taken to watching them all on the same day.
And then tomorrow I'm gonna start Iron Fist and see what the fuck that's all about.
Oh my god.
I'm so angry.
I saw Rosario Dawson in the next episode thumbnail that they have, or... that they have for at the end of each episode.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to hit the play button, but I was like, no, I just can't.
You know what's funny is that people come to me working with, hey, you start Iron Fist? I was like, no. They go, what? I go, I know, I'm sorry. I'm just hesitant. I'm scared.
Here's what I'll say, and this is sort of a preview for what I'll probably say tomorrow when we record. It's a show that gets exponentially better until, like, episode 9, and then it... In my opinion, it just kind of shits the bed. Really goes downhill.
I can't wait to absorb this.
It's definitely the most interesting of the Marvel Netflix shows in terms of how much of a failure it is. So that's a preview for my full thoughts.
Trust me, I have very, very angry thoughts of this show.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me very upset every time I sit down and watch it.
Yeah.
As far as the group go, no, I think we got people we have in there. The ones who are the most active are, you know, stupendous.
Shout out to John Seiler
and Chloe.
Oh yeah. Yeah, and even Andrew Littler, who I'm not always on good terms with, but he's a good guy and he posts interesting stuff in the group, to say the least.
He means well.
And we got Ed, who's kind of a group. Well, he's a mod celebrity, I guess.
Yeah.
Ed's our inside source.
Fun fact, everybody. Mm-hmm. Ed worked on a certain superhero movie which had a guy dressed as a rat and a guy dressed as blue and red tights.
Right. We can't confirm or deny he was our source from a couple episodes back.
He
may or may not be.
Ed is actually secretly Ben Affleck.
He had some kind of run-in with John Diggle last week, but we'll save that. We'll let him tell that story.
Yeah.
Got Pat. Pat also, I think, works in publishing for graphic novels, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. He works close with Ed, also.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
We got some cool people in here.
Yeah.
We also have lots of people who are cross-network with other shows and other podcasts and their groups, so...
Yeah.
There are points where I want to kill Patrick because I'm just so jealous of the absolute editions that he just posts weekly.
That's an extreme opinion. Yeah. Sometimes I'm so jealous of what he does, I just want to murder him.
Did you just did an impression of the kid from Split?
I'm so jealous. Sometimes I just want to kill him.
The beast is coming for you.
The beast is coming, Pat.
Okay, you need to save that for when we do our Split episode, which is coming. It will happen.
I'm walking down on my coffee.
Okay. We'll be there when we get to that point, I guess.
Yeah. So we did hold a poll today in the group.
Yeah.
To see what you guys wanted to hear us talk about. However, we kind of had to make an executive decision because we fucking talk about Flash every goddamn week.
Yeah.
And we're very well aware that damn it, Burry and the timeline happens very frequently.
And we don't have the time for me to explain to you why I'm so sexy.
Yeah. Also,
and Arlen's identity, I feel like, is a sentence, and then we'd move on. Actually, I've solved both of those in one fell swoop. Arlen's identity is Hunter from the future, and that is why Hunter is so sexy. So there we go. We can move on.
Yep. Oh, shit.
Yep. Boom. I solved it all. So I believe we made an executive decision to talk about something that is relatively new to me and to some of us. Kind of old news. I would say about a year and a half, 2 years.
Most insane thing I've ever read in my life.
Yeah.
Some of this, so I can't help but not talk about it. So we're going to talk about the Spider-Man Sony email hacks and all of the glorious, glorious bits of stupidity that could be pulled off these pages.
Guys, don't you love Spider-Man, though? Guys, come on.
Come on, I have a Spidey thought, all right? Hey, kids, how you doing? We're cool. Said a bunch of grown people in a boardroom trying to discuss how to make Spider-Man cool. Seemingly is the theme of these fucking emails.
Oh, yeah.
Or how to kill your brand. It's a long guide of how to overthink and try to squeeze every last drop of life out of an IP that I've ever seen. Anyone who thought the Ghostbusters remake was egregious, please read these emails.
Here's the funny thing.
When you get to Amazing Spider-Man Part 4, Part 1, it's... Like, at that point, I didn't have any words. I was like, this cannot be a fucking real thing.
Was Sony behind the Men in Black movies? The trilogy?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. So
how is that good? And I say this as someone who owns the trilogy on Blu-ray.
We still haven't gotten the 21 Jump Street Men in Black crossover they were trying to talk about.
Which is in those papers also.
It's in those emails.
So many things are in those emails. Many of them continued to happen. Many things that we know to be dumb also happened even after those emails were revealed.
Yeah, some of this is crazy. Like, I have one over here. It's got notes that came from Kevin Feige on the Amazing Spider-Man 2 script, and he's giving notes. And it seems like they read all of these and went, "Well, we're not going to do any of these things."
Right.
And then they just went like, they just
Avengers.
Yeah, and it just seems like they deliberately flew in the face of every note that he gave them and crafted this. Amazing Spider-Man 2, which is we'll talk more in depth about Amazing Spider-Man 2 later on, but however, the process is very clear.
We move on, do we want to talk about a film that it starts with the letter L and ends with the letter E?
No!
Just to say what it's not.
It's not a Venom movie.
Yeah, thanks. Okay.
It's not a Venom movie, because multiple critics have confirmed it.
Oh, okay, never mind. I was thinking of something else. I was, for some reason, thinking of LXG. And there it is.
No, that's...
Why would I do that?
I don't know!
I'm not an asshole.
Damn it. Jesus. The whole... I thought, the whole, fan theory was like, oh, it's a Venom movie, and that I thought those flames would die down, and the producers are like putting their fingers together and going, maybe it is.
Right. Let's see if we can get more people to buy tickets.
let's put some hype behind this movie that's probably going to tank, even though I kind of want to see it.
Yeah. I don't know. It kind of looks like an Alien knockoff to me. It's like, and also, if Alien Covenant weren't coming out in a month, I would be all into it, but.
Yeah, I'm gonna get my gross invasive alien movie soon enough. I don't need to see life.
Right.
It looks like we're being attacked by a bunch of Nickelodeon gack.
Yeah. Why get the Shasta when you can get the when you get the real thing?
Yeah. But it better not be a Venom prequel, or I'm gonna
Here's the thing. I saw a teaser where, like, something is clearly infected Ryan Reynolds. And for a second, I was like, maybe everybody is lying and it is a Venom prequel.
I would...
Because it looks like something is, like, taking over his body.
If it is, if it turns out to be, I would really hope that someone is there with me in the theater to witness the absolute breakdown I have in public.
Yeah.
I would need to be carried away by police.
Here's the thing. I do understand it. I do understand why. And we're not going to talk any spoilers, because we did mention we're going to do a Split episode eventually. I think Split is part of this. It's 100% part of why this theory continues. Because Split is kind of a similar idea. I mean...
Yeah, it's a super secret, like, backdoor entry into a big cinematic universe.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and, a larger universe, anyway.
Yeah. And it... So I could definitely see why people would think that this was something that was going to happen, like, in every movie. It's like, you know, people seeing trailers for Gravity and thinking Gravity was a secret Captain Marvel movie or something.
What?
It's the same... Well, I don't know that happened, but it's the same thing.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, people need to stay off the fucking internet.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. If Gravity were coming out this year and that theory came out, I wouldn't... I mean, Brie Larson has been cast, so we know it can't be true. But say Gravity were coming out and Brie Larson were in the movie, I would not be like, oh, that theory is completely stupid. Especially if it was coming out from Disney. I don't remember what studio released Gravity, but...
I don't either. But let's get to this bit. Let's just start with this this piece of gold here. Let me pull this up full size.
Some of this stuff is great.
Okay. This email is called Spidey Thought. Hey Amy, just a couple of rando thoughts from 35,000 LAX JFK. A rising trend we see with millennials are the really extreme forms of experiential exercise like Tough Mudder, the color run, and even things like hot power yoga, veganism, etc. Millennials will often post NBD on their social media after doing it as in no big deal, also known as humble brag. Wondering if Spidey could get into that in some way. He's super athletic, bendy, strong, intense. It's all NBD to him, of course. That's part one.
Jesus.
EDM, electronic dance music, is a defining music for millennials. Wondering if there's an EDM angle somewhere with Spidey. His movements are beautiful, would be awesome with a killer DJ behind it. It gets worse. Snapchat just launched a story functionality, which is sort of a day in the life of me told in a series of Snapchats that expire for 24 hours. It has a very VIP quality about it, since invitation only. Getting invited into Spidey's Snapchat circle will be huge and very buzzworthy and cool.
What?
Also, on American Hustle, I was thinking, and it may be too late for this, it would be awesome to get all the cool fashion brands to do a 70s-style collab. Urban Outfitters, Free People, American Apparel. They're sort of leaning 70s already. Macklemore hitting a bit with a thrift. That last part is disposable. However, that third part is...
I mean...
I think we could spend all day discussing how that entire email was basically Steve Buscemi walking through the hallway in what movie was it where he's like, hey, fellow school kids...
Here's the thing. It's not that ridiculous. Because if you think of the 2002 Spider-Man movie, how much 90s trash music was in that movie?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, we saw it with Daredevil. It's the same thing. But this is like... This is like that to the next level.
This is transparent. This is transparency at a level where I wasn't expecting, where it's like they have no interest in telling a good story or making a decent movie. They're just interested in doing something that would make them some cash. That's it.
Right.
There's no other motivation here.
Yeah, it's all about branding.
They just
and
want
all
buzz.
About,
that's it.
Yeah. It's about buzz to sell a product that might not even be a good product. It's just like, oh, how many different advertising campaigns and ways to sell this to young kids can we produce and assume that that logo, that Spider-Man's eyes and his design will sell the movie to kids
also,
who have been watching
also,
it.
EDM is the defining music for millennials. Since fucking when?
Yeah, EDM came and went.
I do know that it's still a scene, because I know a lot of people are still into it.
Yeah, but everything is a scene. To sit there
right.
and try to make a there's sweeping generalization.
There are still scene girls, you know?
Right, but remember the movie We Are Your Friends? Does anybody remember this film?
So starring Zac Efron?
It came out in like August or July. The same, I think, around the same time Straight Outta Compton came out. Guess which one of those movies is hugely successful and was so successful that two of its stars are in a movie right now. It's not We Are Your Friends.
Yeah.
It's Straight Outta Compton.
Also, it seems like, just this summary, they wanted to turn Peter Parker, who is kind of a nerdy outcast, into a buff, athletic, kind of like jockey, EDM-pumping, social media addict or something. So basically, they want to make him as unlikable as possible.
Just no.
It's bad enough that we got what we got with Amazing Spider-Man 2, where he's like, he's this, I don't even know, like, he's, the movie is like filled with like silly pop music.
Yeah.
And like his idea of, it, again, his idea of like cooling, burning up steam is like, I'm gonna hit the skateboard! Ah!
Remember that scene?
I think that was
Do you guys remember that scene in Amazing Spider-Man 2 where he suggested he would move to London?
Oh, God.
And then that, and then nothing came of that?
Yeah. Wasn't that
remember,
fun?
Remember in Amazing Spider-Man 2 where they set up the Sinister Six movie? Except not at all.
Oh, and remember how they set that up? They set it up by you had to use Shazam. I think it was Shazam. I might be wrong.
Oh, God, I remember all of this. Okay, so this ties right in line with their over dependency on like trendy shit.
Mm-hmm. They assume that you have your phone open, or that you haven't turned it off in the theater, and that you have your Shazam open so you can record, I don't remember what sounds they were, like...
Okay, first of all, if I'm in a theater and the lights aren't up yet, and I see you pull your phone out, I'm backhanding you in the fucking mouth.
Yeah.
Put your fucking phone away. Movie theater.
Now, maybe if you're turning it on, but, yeah. Keep your phone away.
This does seem like my Sinister Six movie.
I guess in the teaser they couldn't bother me. Well, they did attach a teaser to the end, at the end credits, where it's like, and if you aren't a comic fan, you have no idea what the fuck you're looking at.
Oh yeah, that's right.
It's so deliberately like directed at only people who are from, like, only people who would know that those things behind the weird guy in the suit are Octopus's arms. There was something else. Rhino. Well, we got to see Rhino.
Paul Giamatti doing whatever the heck he's doing.
Oh, my God.
Did we ever figure out who that guy was, who they set up in the first movie?
No, I have no idea. He's the one who walks in the first movie and goes, like, did you tell the boy about his father?
Right. Which, I mean, this is going to turn into an Amazing Spider-Man 2 podcast, but Amazing Spider-Man 2. Hey,
this isn't the first movie, right? Let's find out.
Yeah, well, no, because the father thing—that's set up.
He's in both movies, where at the end he talks to Lizard in his human form in what was it, Rikers Island, whatever the fuck.
Yeah,
yeah.
Where German scientist shows up in the second one.
Yeah,
and he was setting up the beginning of Amazing Spider-Man 2, which begins with his parents trying to get away on an airplane.
Yeah, because Peter's parents were spies.
Right, which is something that everybody loved from the comic books, right, guys?
Yeah.
Stupid.
we all loved that.
You know what I did love? Bruce Wayne, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
That's great. Dude, that's different, though.
Yeah, because it's good.
Yeah.
So the other email I have here is very indicative that they wanted to squeeze every ounce of life out of this franchise that was possible, because... this is a list of film. This might even be the whole list. This is just a part of it, of what they want to do with the Spider-Man property going forward from 2016 on. The Amazing Spider-Man, Sinister Six, Part 1. The Amazing Spider-Man, Sinister Six, Part 2. In late 2017, female-led film starring Emma Stone as antagonist Carnage.
What?
This leads into 2018, Venom. And finally, Amazing Spider-Man 4, Part 1. And Amazing Spider-Man 4, Part 2.
I'm just finding out about Emma Stone as Carnage. So wait a second. Are they saying that their plan was to bring back Gwen Stacy as Carnage?
Yeah.
What?
So, Oh, by the way, I found out who that guy is.
Okay.
His name is Gustav Byers, and he...
Oh, yeah.
Sinister Six.
Okay, like so, that. Yeah. He was like...
There's more of this. Because this gives a bit... what seemed to be a throwaway sentence, but there's something there's probably you can take a lot from it. This gives us 5 Andrew Garfield films and 1 more Emma film. Channing Tatum no longer Venom, so reassess options.
What? Channing Tatum was going to be Eddie Brock? Oh my god, this explains so much.
It's like the lesson they learn with Topher Grace just hit no one.
Well, okay, no, okay, I'm not going to say Channing Tatum was a bad choice. He's a better choice than Topher Grace.
Yes, yeah, I agree with that.
But it's very clear, like, okay, so who do we have in our stable right now of Sony actors? And they picked the guy who was the buffest, who was in the most successful movie.
See, this ties into something that a friend of mine who externed at Sony told me. I think I might have told the Avi Raj story once, but it was...
I think he did.
Yeah, he was kind of witnessing a board meeting, and they were discussing Electro, and Avi Arad was like, Channing Tatum.
Jesus Christ.
What? And I guess Arad's son was like, no, that's insane.
I mean, I guess he's a better choice than Jamie Foxx? I don't know if they ever made a good choice on Electro.
I don't know. I think Electro's a hard person to cast, because, like...
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
what are you supposed to do? Like,
the last sentence of this paragraph. 2020 could be female lead spinoff film, and Spider-Man versus Amazing Spider-Man in 2021. Tobey Maguire and Andrew Dorothy together, about $2 billion in profits.
Okay.
Fucking stupid.
And this is basically, it says... after discussions, 3 options decided to take place before Feige. This is an email correspondence basically saying, before he gets here, let's bullshit about what our plans could be.
How much do you want to bet they're still going to try the Tobey Maguire movie, but with Tom Holland?
I mean...
Why are they so fucking married to this idea? And it comes up like 4 more times in this email. Like yeah, we got to get Spider-Man versus Spider-Man, fucking Tobey and Andrew together.
Because they think that... When fucking Andrew Garfield was an F Spider-Man, everyone bitched about it. So it was like, they're, I think.
Well, and then I have all these emails opened up and scattered, and I have one from a guy named Alan Fine, which will probably shine some light on this line of thought. It says, I have a major issue with the overall strategic direction they are taking with the Spider-Man franchise. I think it is potentially very dangerous to undermine the significant events of the first Spider-Man trilogy. The new trilogy is, in essence, a prequel to the original trilogy. What?
Huh?
Wait a minute. The moment...
I'm trying to wrap my head around this.
Okay. I don't think that... Okay, so I'm going to give these Sony executives the benefit of the doubt.
I'm not. I think they're a bunch of idiots.
They're all over 45. No, I'm not saying they're not idiots. They're all over 45. To maybe like 60, 65. Maybe they don't understand what continuity is.
Maybe they don't
which explains
what a reboot is. Well,
right.
The problem is this dude brings up canon. He says the word canon. I can't remember where it is, but this is okay, here. I think that it is a mistake to deny the original trilogy its place in the canon of the Spider-Man cinematic universe. What are you telling the audience? That the original trilogy is a mistake? A total falsehood? We lied to you? Just made it up? Why should the audience buy into the world we create now? Will we deny its place in the Spider-Man cinematic universe in the next reboot? I have no words for that.
Okay, so I should point this out. Alan Fine is 65 years old, so I nailed it. okay, so...
You know how to use an email.
So, okay, for one, I think he's using canon in a different meaning. So canon is like, MGM has a canon of films.
Yeah.
I think that's his way of using it. There are a canon of films starring Spider-Man.
What's funny is that his next bit is something that makes the most sense and is a valid criticism of both films. It says, I was under the impression that one major reason for the reboot was to be able to put Peter back in high school because we could tell better stories in that environment. So why do you begin this story with a graduation?
I don't know. It's so weird. I mean, I can't explain it.
He does graduate in, like, it's in Amazing Spider-Man 1, doesn't he graduate, right?
No, that's 2.
That's 2. It's he graduates in the two. First... Yeah, he graduates in the first Sam Raimi movie. God, I don't... Some of these people... I don't understand. You've seen like, your own movie.
It seems like it's like that. He has that weird train of thought at the end, and like towards the end of this email, it's like he's just going off the rails. Like he's kind of ripping the pitch for Amazing Spider-Man 2 to shreds. Like the last sentence is 3 villains. Give me a break.
Right, and which is actually really smart because they've done that before.
Yeah,
and it didn't work.
They did it literally last time, and it didn't work. One movie removed from the last time they did 3 villains, and they did 3 villains again.
It's like they have short-term memory loss. That's the only way I can explain
it. I would assume so, because Amazing Spider-Man 1 and Spider-Man are pretty much beat-for-beat the same fucking movie.
Yeah.
But one is marginally better than the other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, one is infinitely more watchable. And, you know what's funny is that Amazing Spider-Man 1 is, like, not offensively bad. It's just like, yeah, we've been here before. It's nothing special.
Yeah, yeah, it's
why would you do this?
And then Amazing Spider-Man 2 just brings all together. And it's like you're like, oh, this is the disaster you were crafting. I get it.
Right, like if you cut, it's almost as if you cut the first season of Daredevil into like a 2-hour movie. You'd be like, okay, that's good, but it's just like it's just a slightly better version of 2003's Daredevil. There's nothing interesting about it. Not like what the show does, which is it gives you more time to develop the characters. So they're so wrong in the way that they approach these things. Very clearly by these emails. And it explains their current problems, it explains how they fucked up Ghostbusters somehow. So many things. Next email, I guess, if you have another.
I have an earlier bit from the one where they discussed the plan of movies, and says this is like I guess they're this is like notes from a discussion. Let me see. Oh, they're discussing like selling it, and then it says Sinister Six still appealing, potential to break 2 billion mark.
Okay. Really?
Okay. I mean,
that's kind of.
I mean.
I think with Suicide Squad out and done with...
Yeah, but Suicide Squad didn't even fucking come close to 2 billion.
No, I know. I'm saying, like, I think it's still, like, a possible idea. I'm just saying,
right.
Like, yeah, and this they also say possibly return to Spider-Man 4, recast Toby and Dunst, convince Raimi to return and direct.
Wait a minute. After Amazing Spider-Man had already come out?
I'm not sure. Because they're not... this looks like they're talking about this after the first Amazing Spider-Man already come out. So, like, maybe after the first Amazing Spider-Man movie, they were already getting cold feet about what they were doing?
I mean...
Would be the most confusing shit I've ever seen.
That's insane. Because they already knew, at this point, Raimi had been very public, even by then, that he didn't want to work on another Spider-Man movie, or even another movie... Well, I guess he did Wizard of Oz, like, right at the same time. But he didn't want to work on anything that big again. He still doesn't. Like, if you ask him if he'll ever do anything on that scope, he'll tell you no. He'd rather produce movies for other people. He'd rather produce the next Don't Breathe than waste his time on a giant movie like this.
Also, it says here that apparently they were pitching the idea of selling the license back to Marvel for at least, guess the number.
$5 billion.
$5 billion is exactly how they wanted to sell. How much they wanted to sell it back to Marvel? Disney bought Star Wars for 4.5. Kiss my ass, Sony.
Right, Marvel's gonna make.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Marvel's gonna make $5 billion in the next 2 years.
And I guess later on, I saw it basically says like Feige was like, "This is extremely one-sided."
Right, because by this point they've already released. Oh no! So this is before Amazing Spider-Man 2 when they're. Proposing $5 million. Mm-hmm. So by this point, they have 50-50 split between movies that people absolutely like and 50% of the movies people either don't like or absolutely hate. So you're giving them a franchise that you've effectively, I'll say, damaged heavily. Because by then, Spider-Man is damaged. People still remember Spider-Man 3. Amazing Spider-Man did poorly because of Spider-Man 3.
That, so, and they also didn't let the franchise breathe at all. Like, there was 8 years between Batman and Robin and Batman Begins.
Yeah.
And there was... George Clooney even said, he's like, we killed the series for a while. He's like, we killed it dead for quite a long time.
Yeah.
And even Warner Brothers, who we have been giving so much shit to the last year, are not this incompetent, because they're like, nah, well, you know, we'll wait. Like, we don't need to rush this.
Yeah. They're learning their lesson now. And they've
actually,
never...
Actually, there was another Batman movie in the works after Batman and Robin.
Yeah, but ultimately it didn't come in. Nothing came of it. And even between Dark Knight Rises and Batman vs. Superman, there was 4 years.
Yeah. And even that, they didn't want to do Batman. Otherwise, they would have. Like, if
they started with Superman.
Ooh, yeah, their initial plan was to start from Green Lantern, and that is true. Because, so Justice League... Mortal? Is that the...
That's the abandoned George Miller movie.
Right, so that movie didn't happen because they wanted to keep Christopher Nolan happy. They didn't want competing Batman movies or movies with Batman coming out at the same time. So they scrapped that one. They move on to Green Lantern. They put a bunch of money into it. They hire the guy behind Casino Royale, which...
Martin Campbell.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. If you're looking at it, this guy saved James Bond twice.
Yeah.
Why not? This has got to work. Why wouldn't this work? Well, when you meddle in the movie and you take the movie away from him, guess what? Doesn't work.
You're forgetting the writers.
Yeah, and also 8 writers.
The main people.
I thought wrestling writer teams were bad.
Right, but that script was taken away from them. And if you read the original Green Lantern script, it's far better. And you ask Berlanti now, he would, and these are his words, when he was producing Green Arrow, or when they were first producing Arrow, he said, we're not going to settle this time. We're going to make the show that we want to make. So that tells you everything you need to know about the CW universe. Why it is the way
and
that out, it is.
And outside of one or two things, like the lead-in for Legends of Tomorrow, it's been seemingly free of these kind of, like I mentioned before, transparent motivations just to push something.
Right.
And that is all Sony saw in Spider-Man. It's all they saw. They saw it as something they could push. Because also, like, hasn't Sony been doing kind of poorly the last, I don't know, half decade or so?
They're
struggling for a fucking worldwide hit.
Sony and Paramount are struggling the most because Warner Brothers can just make Harry Potter movies whenever they want, especially since Fantastic Beasts did well. Disney is Disney.
And Disney
nothing
never
needs to be
anywhere.
Said. Right.
Like, when the ashes settle, Disney will be the only one left, and right, I'm okay with that.
Right, and then the antitrust corporations are going to have to come in. And we'll just have, like, 6 mini Disneys.
Yeah.
Marvel will be its own thing. Star Wars will be its own thing.
Oh, man, that means Star Wars 1313, baby.
Oh, yeah.
You gotta give it time. Likely. Make sure that Alan, that idea will be dead as a fucking doornail by the time
I
this shit happens.
I still believe.
Yeah, and I believe in a new Legacy of Kain game, but I've moved on.
You have to move on, man.
Yeah, it's not gonna happen. You fuckers canceled Dead Sun. Anyway.
God damn it.
I moved on. I really haven't. I want that game to happen so bad.
Yeah, Sony is making a lot of bad decisions. A lot of bad decisions. And it's out of desperation. It's like when you have a friend who is desperate to get drugs, or who's just like going through a very bad time economically, and they'll just do anything. That's what Sony is doing right now.
Well, I mean, you'd have to be out of your mind to conceivably think that you could reboot Ghostbusters and not get a shitload of flack for it.
Right, or make that Ghostbusters movie.
And then the movie suffered for it, and it ultimately didn't, it didn't earn what they wanted it to, and it fucking went away, like a fart in church. Like,
yeah, and again, maybe don't overinvest in a Ghostbusters movie. Maybe that's a bad idea.
I was watching, I watched the Half in the Bag episode, edition of, or their review of Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what Mike Ciclasa thought, or I wonder what he thought, or wonder what he wonders, if the movie had been in production after The Force Awakens had come out, would it be, how would it be?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean would they be more focused on, you know, kind of welcoming back old reboot fans? Yeah.
Maybe. I do feel like part of the decision to go all women with it was kind of that. They saw a trend of movies are doing better if you have a female lead. Maybe we can jump on that
and I don't know if you guys trend. I don't know if you guys read Max Landis' script for Ghostbusters 3. But the lead is a woman.
Right.
It's what's his name?
Well, Landis also believes in strong, powerful female leads. Like he's mentioned that before.
And his script was like balanced, so it was like half women, half male, which is actually, I can't believe I'm agreeing with Landis on something, is a good idea, probably better than an all-female cast. I don't know, I don't think Ghostbusters' problem was the movie itself. I still hold that.
No, the movie's pretty inoffensive, but it's just like, hey, this isn't, you know.
Yeah, again, shouldn't have been like, I don't remember the exact budget, but it was like $150 million.
Well, then, like, not to talk about Ghostbusters, but like, they had a clear misunderstanding of what Ghostbusters actually is, because like in the third act, it just becomes an action movie with people fucking dodge rolling and shooting over cars, and like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't a Ghostbusters movie.
Bizarre. And I mean,
like, they didn't understand what it was clearly.
Yeah, and back to Spider-Man, they didn't understand what the fuck to do that either, because Amazing Spider-Man 2 was like. They did the Dark Knight surprise fourth act, where Green Goblin shows up looking like Billy Idol.
It was such a bad idea.
They fight for what feels like 15 seconds, and then they rush immediately to the Gwen Stacy moment, which is like, anyone who's well-versed enough walked into that going, yeah, Gwen Stacy's totally going to die.
I mean, here's the problem. It feels almost like the exact opposite of a problem Warner Brothers has. Which is, Warner Brothers, when something fails, you will not see that thing again for a very long time.
Hence Green Lantern.
Andy Sitz, I think he's a member of the group. I kind of shouted at him in the comments on one of his posts about Green Lantern and why he's not going to show up in Justice League. And it's really simple. The last Green Lantern movie completely failed. Utterly failed.
Goodwill assassinated.
Yeah, and so there is no chance that Warner Brothers will ever put him in a movie anytime soon. He might show up in the future, and they might talk about making another movie.
Yeah, but why do you think we haven't seen an on-screen Robin in fucking years?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because it takes them a long time to say, oh, we should do this, because Warner Brothers
isn't toxic.
Yeah, they're driven by math, and they look at everything very mathematically. I've said this many times. The reason BVS happened is because Man of Steel didn't do what they wanted, and the last successful thing with a DC stamp on it was Batman.
Batman is Warner Brothers' trump card. We're in trouble. Someone get the Batman.
Press the Batman button.
Batman button. Press it.
You know what? I imagine them having the actual phone from like the '66 cartoon show, like in the office.
Yeah, and it just now it goes to David Goyer's office. Hopefully that's going to change because he wrote three of the most successful Batman movies ever. If you go cumulatively, his three are more successful than the other four.
Oh no, no doubt about it. I'm just saying. Two of those are considered.
I mean,
good.
Yeah, we're gonna have a court case episode about Dark Knight Rises that will happen, and I'll probably end up defending it. But
I think I might be both.
Yeah, I feel strongly on both ends of the spectrum about it.
Yeah, I tend to be the defender of that movie, which is really weird because I hate aspects of it. But so yeah, Warner Brothers. Warner Brothers has the opposite problem of Sony, which is they learn too well from their problems and they blame it on aspects. Whereas you shouldn't do that. You should just blame it on the fact that the movie is bad. You know?
Bad movie is a bad movie. Is a bad movie is a bad movie is a bad movie. Like,
I mean, as much as I will give Fox flack for things all the time, they will not work with Josh Trank. Yeah. They will not work with Josh Trank ever again. Ever. Brian Singer is not going to touch another X-Men movie for ever, probably.
Neither will Brett Ratner.
Yep, Brett Ratner.
Yeah, he's dead. Like
he is. Him and Josh Trank are probably. Well, I think Brett Ratner is probably closer to being out of movie jail than Trank is. But I think Trank's there for a long time.
And I think Gavin Hood. I think he's the director of X-Men.
Oh, I forgot about him entirely. He got out of movie jail. He made Ender's Game. Ender's Game is pretty good.
He's done other movies, but he's not working on X-Men ever again. And I don't know if Ender's Game was Fox or not, but he's not working on a Fox movie ever again. So that is the one thing I will give them credit for, is cutting out the actors and not the franchises or the
You want something else? Speaking of directors, like what was the ultimate motivation for bringing in Mark Webb, who's like pretty much only claim to fame was 500 Days of Summer?
Oh, that's them copying Warner Brothers. So it became this thing, and it's been there before, but it's like the trend now. You find an indie director who's directed one film, and that film usually does pretty well. People like it. They don't love it, but they like it.
Yeah.
And then you give them a franchise based off that. Now, sometimes that's a good idea. Rian Johnson, he did three indie films, or three successful films, and he's coming off of Looper. He's a great choice. It doesn't matter what he does. He's a great choice for Star Wars. But when you go to somebody like Colin Trevorrow, Safety Not Guaranteed is a good movie. It's really
I do like that movie a lot.
Jurassic World can die in a fire.
Well, I like that movie too, but for reasons that don't speak to its quality.
I like it for stupid, schlocky bullshit, not because it's a good movie. Because it's not one, and don't fool yourself. It's not a good movie.
No, I would never.
I can't even like it on those levels. I can't. My problem is, when it comes to stupid, schlocky bullshit, I do still have standards, okay? Now,
and before I watch Jurassic World again, I'll go watch Carnosaur and Carnosaur 2, okay?
Right. Exactly.
Whoa. Yeah.
Yeah. Or from the same studio, I'm sorry, every Universal movie that claims to be dumb and self-aware, every movie you do is going to be compared to Fast and the Furious.
Yep.
Remember sorry, Theodore Rex?
It's just going to happen.
Do I remember Theodore Rex?
I mean, do I remember Theodore Rex? I don't think I was old enough to be aware of it, but I'm certainly aware of it now, and man, that is a diamond in the rough of shit movies.
That dinosaur complaint was one hell of a hockey player.
And everything that movie looked like a bunch of stuff they didn't use for the Dinosaurs TV show.
God damn it.
Okay.
I don't know what we were talking about.
Maybe we're talking about the process of making it, like, you know, of handling a decent franchise.
I mean, my thing is, like, we know what works. We've seen it. It's called Marvel.
Also, it's right Fox there. Marvel is starting to get their stuff together because, for example, X-Force, they got Ryan Reynolds co-writing with Joe Carnahan.
Yes.
And he's directing it.
Like, those names, like, you my money, it's in the mail.
Yeah, like,
it's coming to you.
I'm
going to pull out $10 right now and put it in my drawer and say, save for X-Force.
I'm camping outside my local theater right now.
Yeah.
Right, and I think in one of the last episodes I said, I didn't like Fallen Our Stars that much, but I'll watch new X-Men or new
Okay,
Mutants.
So
I'm
you
there.
Know what? Let's talk about this proposed Venom movie, which, by the way, I still don't think is happening. But also, let's talk about the fact that it's rumored that it will not be part of the MCU, which seems like Sony being a bunch of fucking thick-headed dickweeds.
Well, okay, so
seem to really want to have their cake and eat it too.
Well, okay, so news came I think yesterday, and it's not a confirmation from the studio, but the Hollywood Reporter, gold standard in Hollywood journalism, like Hollywood Reporter and Variety, like. If it comes from them, it's probably true. They reported that a Silver Sable movie, a Black Cat movie, and a Venom movie, and that Venom movie, which has been rumored, are all absolutely happening, and none of them are happening inside the MCU.
Oh my fucking God.
Now, I don't remember if Silver Sable and Black Cat are one movie or two separate movies.
All right, this is like a continuation of that big spat I read in the email where it's like, oh, Amazing Spider-Man 4, part 1. This is them still desperately trying to cling to this product and make their own cinematic universe out of it, and it's not going to work. It didn't work last time. Fucking quit. Please. Yes.
And also, it might be
Stop
them
it.
Trying to
and
keep those characters from
also, how the fuck are you going to do a Venom movie if it's not in the MCU? You kind of need Spider-Man.
I mean, here's my problem with that statement. Because it's like, you could totally do Agent Venom without Spider-Man.
That's true. And you could explain it as the last planet Venom, the Venom symbiote was on, was some alien world where they had spider powers.
Yeah, and guess what? It's going to be stupid, but they can still do it.
Right, and you can just give it. I mean, they explained it in The Thing 2011. This thing has been on other planets and it's imitated other animals. This symbiote has been on other people before. So I'm more okay with the symbiote thing. Silver Sable and Black Cat piss me off. Black Cat particularly.
I mean, okay, first of all, when's the last time someone talked about Silver Sable?
The 70s, probably.
Probably. That is not a living property. Like, that's... No one knows who the fuck that is. People are barely aware of Black Cat, and they're probably going to think she's Catwoman.
Right. I mean, that's the thing that... Where I'm like... Yeah, I mean... kind of the same thing. Yeah. Like, completely.
It's the exact same thing.
Like, when they were doing their own Spider-Man movies, and that idea, the Black Cat idea, on its own, when they had their own Spider-Man movies, I remember thinking, okay, if they introduce her in one of these future movies, and people like that character a lot, then I can see it happening.
Also, mm-hmm. like, why are they so desperate to cast these characters off in different directions from, like, the MCU stuff? Because then you're hamstringing the Spider-Man property that's going to be it's arguably the more popular one. Like, Spidey in the MCU is going to be the one that people talk about. And then you want to basically pluck characters from there that you could use in those movies and put them somewhere else.
Yeah.
It just seems like they're keeping these characters away from Marvel.
It really does. It feels like they're like trying to build a wall between.
That's exactly what it feels like.
They Marvel has the Vulture and like the Shocker, but like who else are they gonna get? They're gonna get the fucking Rocket Racer, like.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And like they're Sony is seemingly trying to like abscond with like the most marketable Spider-Man villain, and then go place him in this impenetrable little fortress, going you can't have him.
Yeah, It's just such like a corporate decision. Like, okay, we need to have a golden parachute in case this fails or in case things don't work out with Marvel. In case we get into some giant fight.
Spoilers, it's going to work out.
Yeah. Like, and even 10 years from now. And we don't know. 10 years from now, the relationship between Kevin Feige and Sony could be completely different. Who is in charge of the studio could change. The studio itself could change. Sony Pictures isn't doing well. They could just totally collapse in on themselves.
It's been talked about. They were considering selling off their film division
to Paramount.
Yeah. Well, okay. Here's the thing. If those films went to Paramount, they'd actually have an easier time. Because if you remember, a lot of the first
Paramount
Marvel
worked together to begin with.
Yeah. So that would actually be better to some degree. If it went to Universal, then things would get really fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Because Universal has shared rights on Hulk and Namor. So if that happened, Universal could try and do their own parallel cinematic universe.
Yeah, and they've got the rights to Namor like locked in a fucking safe that they threw into the Mariana. What is that? That fucking the Mariana Trench.
Yeah, the Mariana's Trench.
Yeah, like down there and like guarded by two nuclear subs.
And James Cameron. Soul.
My understanding is that it's God damn it! God damn it, Alan!
Was not ready for the James Cameron zinger. Really wasn't.
That poll, man.
He's down there like 3D cameras of the future.
Alan was like Oliver on that one, just
ooh.
Oh, God. But no, Namor can show up in the MCU in the same way Hulk can. It's just that if they want to do a solo film, they have to listen to Universal executives, and they have to listen to their ideas, which they might not want to do. I mean, now they might want to do it. The Fast and the Furious movies exist, so maybe they know what they're doing now. But in 2008, they clearly didn't, because they haven't made another Hulk solo film.
Yeah.
So if they did do a Namor movie, they kind of need one person, and that person is Sue Storm.
Yeah.
Because some of Namor's best moments is when he's trying to woo Sue.
Yeah, when he's trying to cuck Reed Richards.
He tries to woo Sue.
Yeah, he tries. Reed Richards' wife.
Somewhat off topic, but wouldn't the biggest dick move ever be if Fox sold Fantastic Four to Universal instead of Marvel?
Wow! Against all odds, we'd get a fourth shitty Fantastic Four movie.
Well, no, they just make it Fast and
Furious. How much worse those movies get? I mean, like this.
Well, no, that's the thing. It would. I think it would actually be good.
Four Furious.
Right, they would hire Justin Lin 100%.
My God, no, Alan's right in the money. It would be Furious versus Fantastic.
I'd watch that.
I'd get the fuck out of that. You kidding me?
Vin Diesel versus The Thing? Sign me up.
The Rock versus The Thing, man.
God damn it. Okay, I want this to happen now.
Okay, we need to write the script.
And actually, Universal and Marvel, they get along pretty well. So Fantastic Four could potentially come back to Marvel that way. I don't know. It's so crazy. All this stuff. The Spider-Man stuff pisses me off because
Watch these people at Sony try once more to get Channing Tatum as Venom.
I mean,
if I hear his name come up in the front runners, I'm gonna fucking lose my shit.
That's only
because that would be it. That would be all the evidence I needed. These people are just set in their ways, refuse to change, refuse to evolve, and refuse to just try something new.
If they get to him before Shuler Donner could get her Gambit movie made,
oh my God,
that movie's never coming out.
what happens first, Gambit or Channing Tatum as Venom?
I mean. There's a universe where both happen, and it really pisses me off. And then they do a Gambit versus Venom movie, and then we all shit ourselves because we can't handle
it. That would be
the death of cinema.
Yeah. It's just Channing Tatum versus Channing Tatum. Yeah. I'm good.
I mean, we're going to have to watch Andrew Garfield fight.
Yeah, I guess if Sony really has their way, we're gonna fucking see Tobey Maguire, who's now in his 40s.
I mean, if they have their way, all three of them are gonna be in a movie together, and then we're all gonna shoot ourselves. I mean, Jesus Christ! It'll be two 40-year-old men and their adopted son. Actually, that actually sounds like a pretty good movie. Now that I think
two Spider-Man and a baby.
Yeah. I mean, now that I think about it, that cast just sounds like a pretty good thing without the Spider-Man stuff.
Well, I like all those people, but I don't want this to happen. I think we should wrap, because now we've...
Yeah, we've definitely gone...
We've all over. Gotten nice and angry.
Join us next time on...
Yes.
All right.
This has been our anniversary episode.
episode.
I should lay off the caffeine. Our anniversary episode. Thank you to everyone in the Phantom Zone group. Thank you to everyone who listens. Anybody else got anything to say?
Just wanted to say that I'm really proud of the group, and I'm really looking forward to doing this for as long as we possibly can. And I just also wanted to say fuck X-Men Apocalypse, because I heard it earlier and I got mad.
I co-sign everything Hunter just
like
said.
Like, the battle cry of the Phantom Zone is fuck X-Men Apocalypse, apparently.
That's right.
Until a worse X-Men movie comes out, and then we'll say fuck that one.
Which will be the next one.
The X-Men, though.
Just cursing Simon Kinberg before he can even do it.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Alright.
Alright, well, join the group if you haven't. Subscribe to the podcast if you haven't. I don't know why you'd be listening to this if you haven't subscribed. That'd be weird.
Yep.
Yeah, and then follow me on Twitter, at Wesker Commander. I don't tweet, but maybe I'll start.
You can follow me on Twitter, at Davenport. Also, you can go to my Tumblr, where I plan to have a bunch of writing and the articles I write. That's CosmicOcelotIsDead.tumblr.com.
Yep, and you can see more articles from Hunter on theharrow.wordpress.com. You can follow me at AA Harrow. You can find my writing. You can also find Alan's writing. You can find me tweeting things that I find entertaining to Connor. It's really fun if you follow both of us.
Yeah, because only one of them tweets at one another one, and then he just doesn't respond.
No, right. I do. I just hit a like, and then I put my phone back in my pocket.
Right. Or he'll be like, cool. And that's the end of the conversation. It's real fun. Yeah. Alan, you got any plugs?
I plan on writing a non-news article, so watch out for that.
What?
A new article?
It's still going to be comics, though.
I'm actually working on a comics article, too, so both have something up at the same time, probably.
More on that later.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye.